Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome, everybody. Welcome you, whether you're here worshiping in the building or you're online or listening through the radio on KFUO AM. Welcome, everybody, to worship. A reminder for those especially who are watching online or listening, the bulletin for this service can be found on the resources tab of our homepage of our website. That's chapelofthecross.org. And a reminder, too, that you can give your offering very conveniently there to the Lord and to His church through that Give tab on the homepage of the website, or you could just mail that in to the church office. Just a few announcements to share with you before we begin worship. This upcoming week, we will be celebrating a National Day of Thanksgiving, and we will be gathering together here, of course, to give thanks and praise to God as we worship our Lord Thanksgiving Eve at 6:30 p.m. and Thanksgiving Day at 9:30 a.m. Please join us as we give thanks to God and worship. We also ask that you do call and register for that worship service before you come. So call the church office and register your attendance. We will also be gathering some non-perishable food items during those worship services, as we normally do every year on Thanksgiving Eve and Day. We will not be bringing them up here to the altar, however. So we will be gathering them somewhere in the commons. So there will be a place where you can place those food donations. And as you come and bring those and deposit those will be given to Helping Hands Food Pantry. And I thank you in advance for your gifts of food this Thanksgiving time. Please mark your calendars for the annual congregational voters meeting. That will be next Sunday, November 29th, starting after the late service, so 12:15 or so. All members of chapel are invited and encouraged to come to that meeting. The Life Team is asking you to donate your broken or used jewelry. Monarch Jewelry will repurpose that jewelry, and the proceeds benefit Crisis Aid St. Louis Refuge Home in their fight against sex trafficking. Bring your jewelry to the church, put it in that treasure box that you see at the Welcome Center, and more information about that, if you're interested, is in the weekly, a good paragraph about what that ministry is all about, so please check that out. God's blessing as we worship this day, this Christ the King Day, we begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, 525 in Lutheran Service Book.
Crown Him the Lord of love. his hands and sigh. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bend their wandering eyes at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of hell, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown him with many crowns, as thrones before him fall. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King of all.
We stand. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Serve thee, love. shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the sky. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, it is your will to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed King of all creation. Unite all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, under the glorious and gentle rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this weekend is from Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when he says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text that I've chosen for the sermon this day, this Christ the King weekend, is from John chapter 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." In the name of our King Jesus, Christian friends, out of control. Those three little words maybe sum up our world in 2020 pretty well, don't they? Out of control. That's the case, I think, for most of us, at least according to the polls, if you can believe the polls. 8 out of 10 adults in America believe that things are out of control in our country. 80%, I mean, we can't agree on much, but we can agree on that. It's out of control. We've got a virus that seems to be just running rampant. There are many, many people who are sick. A number of loved ones from Chapel family are battling COVID-19, and in some cases are in very serious shape. We have shutdowns and lockdowns and quarantine. We have cutbacks and layoffs and closings. And we have, it seems, this growing sense of fear and acting and reacting out of fear, so that just breeds more and more that feeling that everything is just out of control. And really, beyond the coronavirus, when you look at the big picture, we find that we really don't have a lot of control in our lives at all, do we? 2020 has not brought anything new. Out of control is a very regular and very common description of our lives, especially when we are touched or our family is touched by words like accident, downsizing, cancer, recession, surgery, divorce, death. Pretty serious stuff. And when those things find a way into our lives somehow, oh boy, we don't feel like we're in a whole lot of control anymore. And it doesn't take much to throw us out of control. It really doesn't. Even words such as taxes, argument, headache, to-do list, deadline, tuition, bills. Those words can make us feel like we're just on this slippery slope, or just there's no footing. We're ready to fall at any moment. Just out of control. Well, today we celebrate Christ the King Day. Now, if anybody would be in control, it'd be a king, right? And I'm not thinking about like kings of today over in Europe. Most of them are just figureheads anyway. I'm thinking about how it used to be. You know, kings were absolute rulers. They were not selected by their subjects, and they certainly were not restrained or restricted by them in any way. They simply ruled by their own authority. They were the king, and kings made all decisions. They issued the orders, and they made sure that their orders were carried out under threat of punishment. A king is in control. And today we celebrate Christ the King. I don't know. Jesus wasn't really like that, was he? No, I don't think he was like that at all. Even though we celebrate the kingship of Jesus today, he did not live a very kingly life. In fact, it didn't even seem as if he had very much control in his life. When President Trump visited the UK last year, it was kind of interesting to read the British press spelling out all the logistics involved in that visit. And as you might imagine, there was a lot of stuff going on with a presidential visit. Several cargo planes carrying the president's fleet of armored vehicles and helicopters, not just one helicopter, several helicopters. The president's entourage included over 1,000 people, including over 150 Secret Service agents. Staff included military communications specialists, White House aides, a doctor, a chef, members of the media. 750 rooms were booked to accommodate that group. That was a visit. In total contrast to that, look at Jesus' visit. He was born in a little out-of-the-way town, born in a barn, laid down to sleep in a feeding trough in a manger. Does that sound like a king to you? He grew up in a carpenter's house, probably learned the carpentry trade himself. And nothing against carpenters, but that's not a very kingly occupation. When Jesus was older, he began to be preaching and teaching. He said that he came to the world in order to serve people, not to be served. Well, that doesn't sound like a king at all. He entered the capital city of Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, if you remember, not riding on a stallion, magnificent horse. No, he came in on the back of a donkey. What king, worth anything, rides on a donkey? Now, this Jesus doesn't seem much like a king. he really doesn't seem like he's in control either. I mean, just look at the last few hours of his life. He's tried, whipped, beaten, mocked, spit on, laughed at, slapped, jeered, and finally nailed to a cross and killed. Jesus Christ was definitely not in control. Or was he? Now, I think we get a distinctive hint in our text for today from the Gospel of John. It had been a seemingly out-of-control night for Jesus. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and arrested. He had been put on trial before Annas, and false witnesses were brought up to testify against him. Then Jesus is shipped off to the home of Caiaphas, and formal charges of blasphemy are filed against him at that illegal gathering of the Jewish council. Then early the next morning, Jesus is taken to Pilate, and then he's sent back to Herod, and then he's sent back to Pilate. And Pilate finally asked the key question, are you the king? Are you the king of the Jews? It's a key question because the Jews had charged Jesus with treason against Rome for setting himself up as a king. And Jesus says, yes, I am a king. But I'm not like any king that you've ever seen, Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Those words don't sound to me like they come from a man who's out of control. In fact, Jesus is very much in control. He knew what needed to be done. He knew that he needed to be sacrificed for the sin of all people. He knew that he had to go to the cross. And the way to that cross is through Pilate. I mean, just think about that. At any time, Jesus could have just said, you know what, forget about it. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to go through with it. I don't want to be nailed to a cross. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die. He had the power to just snap those ropes that bound him and just walk right through the crowd. He had done it before. But this time, Jesus stayed. Because he knew it was time. It was time to go to the cross. It was time to pay the penalty for my sin and for yours. It was time to bring salvation. He was in control. And for as often as we are out of control in our lives, you would think that it would be so easy for us to say, okay, Lord, you're in control. You were in control in Bethlehem. You were in control before Pontius Pilate. You were in control on Calvary. You were in control on Easter morning. So you be in control of me. You be in control of my life. I want you to call the shots, Lord. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you in control. Boy, you'd think that'd be easy to say. It's not. Because we don't want to let go. And we don't want to relinquish any control that we think we have. We want to hang on, and we want to call the shots, and we want to lead, and we want to try to be in control. And so we hang on tighter and tighter to those things that just make matters worse. We hang on to worry, and we hang on to guilt, and we hang on to fear. We hang on to all those things in our life that we think, oh, this makes us independent. And we don't allow God to take control of us. But when our Lord, in his love, gently pries us away from hanging on so tightly to our stubborn pride and our fierce independence and our chronic worry and fear, and when control of our lives is relinquished to his gracious care, to his leading, to his guiding, when by the power of the Spirit in our hearts, we finally say to him, oh God, okay, God, I'm yours. I'm giving it all to you. When he leads us, when he leads us to understand that we can't handle our lives without Christ in control. Oh, the beautiful freedom that we realize. The burden is just lifted because the Lord is leading, the Lord is guiding, and the Lord is in control. Jesus is in control because Jesus is king. He was king from the very start of the world. He was a king when he was born as a little baby. He was king as he taught and as he preached. He was king as he was bound and beaten, as he was killed on that hill called Golgotha. He was king as he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday and as he ascended into heaven. And he is king even now as he prepares a place in his kingdom for you and for me. Jesus is in control because Jesus is king. And what a tremendous comfort that is for us. We whose lives are continually out of control. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus always will be in control. He's got you by the hand. And he'll never leave you. He's the one who is rock steady. He's the one who's guiding you. Even when our world seems to be just spinning out of control, even when we feel as if we've been just on this slippery slope, we can't stand on it. Well, Jesus is there, leading, guiding, gently nudging sometimes, always holding on to us. He is always in control. David knew that God was in control. And so he's saying, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. Isaiah confessed that God is in control. He said, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. But I think Jesus, of course, said it best when he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We do take heart. We do have peace. Because our King, Jesus, is in control. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand with me as we confess together our common faith? I'm sorry, we did that already. Please stand with me as we pray to our Lord the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Christ our King, we pray that you make your presence known throughout the world. We pray for all leaders of governments that they may rule with justice and mercy. We pray for peace throughout the world, for an end to warfare, and for protection for those who serve in the armed forces. Move all people of the world to share the resources that you have provided with those who lack those resources. And move us to be generous in proclaiming your love to the world by our actions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, we pray that your gospel may be proclaimed freely throughout the world. Bless those who serve as evangelists and missionaries. Grant that your word, as it is proclaimed by your servants, may bring forth a bountiful harvest by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, you have promised to return again in power and glory. Prepare our hearts that we may serve you in righteousness and holiness until your return. Fill us with hope and anticipation, and give us opportunities to proclaim your coming. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, we give you thanks for all of your mercy and for all the good gifts that you have given to your people. Today we praise you especially with Tracy Tim and Matt Evans as they were joined together as husband and wife today. Lead, guide, and bless them as they begin married life together. We also thank you along with Glenn and Joyce Lackey as they celebrate 53 years of marriage. Continue to bless and make your presence known to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, give your great comfort and peace to David Eggers and his family upon the death of his aunt, Juanita Muck. Make your presence and your strength known to them and reassure them with your promises even as they mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, you have promised to answer our prayers for those who have special concerns. Hear us as we pray for all who are ill and in need of your healing. We especially remember this day Scott Barber, Grace Green, Lewis McNeil, Pam Taylor, Rebecca Trump, Earl Wendt as he recovers from surgery, and John Brown and Dr. John Rittman, who are both hospitalized. Lord, remember also those who are homebound, the lonely, the troubled, that they may know the peace of your presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Christ our King, you have promised to be with us always with your comfort, strength, peace, and protection. We thank and we praise you for your goodness and mercy. We humbly come before you during this pandemic, asking you to work mightily to curb the advance of this virus that has attacked thousands. Be with and bless those here in our community and around the world who are doing what is humanly possible to stop its devastating advance. Grant to us peace, courage, and strength of faith so that we are continually confident of your love and your goodness. We know that your ways are not our ways, that your ways are always the best. And so we entrust ourselves, our loved ones, and this current situation into your hands, trusting in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
You may be seated.
Promise grace, salvation.
We now take and eat the very body of Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of your sin. And take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you and for many on the cross, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. We stand. Now may this eating and drinking keep and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in the Lord's peace and in his joy. Amen. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have gathered us together once more to share in the joys of this sacrament. And we pray that you would strengthen us by your Son's body and blood, that as heirs of your kingdom we may ever serve you and our neighbors. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.